Welcome to the Womanist Voice podcast. I am Dr. Sarah Hussain, and today we will be discussing womanhood. What it means to be a woman brings with it different expectations for women across the global world. And today we will be discussing all things femininity, motherhood, and womanism. I am joined by the amazing Shamiza Rashid, who is an award-winning creative and cultural producer, creative consultant, broadcaster, theatre and audio drama maker, but she is also a mother of six. Welcome, Shamiza, and thank you for agreeing to be part of this meaningful conversation.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Shamiza, for me, there is great value in the role of a woman. But I feel womanhood is being attacked, and in order to be seen as liberated, you have to compete with a man to be seen as equal. But I'm of the same opinion as Alice Walker, who coined the womanist term in 1982, which allows women to feel valued and respected as a woman without actually competing against the man for equity. For me, I've always wondered, why does the woman have to compete in a man's race to be seen as equal? I believe we have our own set of superpowers, and actually, in a patriarchal world, men could learn a lot from women's compassion. What do you think about that, Shamiza?
I totally agree. It's actually quite saddening to actually hear that phrase, having to compete in a race, a rat race, with men. Why does it need to be like that? For me, I feel that as a woman, my softness, I don't want to have to lose in the world of work. I want to be able to use my compassion and kindness to kind of connect with people. I want that to be my strength, and I feel women have that. That's a beautiful strength to be had, and to be celebrated. And I feel that it's really important that we work alongside one another, not in a race. And the term race is just so, the word is quite competitive. I don't want to be competing. I feel that I have achieved success in my life alongside men. I've had men supporting me in my career as advisors, as mentors. Myself, I've also been a key figure that people, men, have been able to turn to just to gain some advice and guidance. And I think the reason why they may have connected with me for advice is because of that element. Well, she is able to relate to people with softness, but also with respect as well. It's that balance that I think we as women are able to manifest, and more power to us to be able to share that abundantly.
And for me, I want to talk a little bit about the role of motherhood. So a mother has the responsibility of teaching her own children how to behave in society. For me, this is a huge responsibility. If we bring up children with good moral values, we will have a more cohesive society. Thus, I was excited to have this conversation with you, Shamiza, today, because as well as having so many roles outside of home, you're also a mother of six. And I often feel that if you're really passionate about motherhood and your family, it's sometimes viewed as a more aggressive mindset compared to if you want to have a successful career earning a lot of money, for example. Basically, you are viewed as more progressive and liberated if you are a working woman. But for me, of all the roles I play, the role of mother takes precedence over everything. I myself am a working mother, but still very much value the concept of a stay-at-home mother, but often feel like being a homemaker can be judged. Do you feel that the stay-at-home mother is often viewed in less regard in comparison to the working woman?
It so is, and it really breaks my heart that we are not celebrating stay-at-home mums, and we're not giving them that precedence that they deserve. And I feel that there is a real insecurity around stay-at-home mums when they kind of go out and say in the playground, and they're actually looked down upon that they're a stay-at-home mum, as if they've not achieved and dedicated their lives and energy and sleepless nights, as if that has no value to it because it has no currency attached to it. And this is really quite saddening, and it really does upset me, because I am in awe of women at home who are able to manage their homes, manage their children, manage the aspirations of their husbands, manage their children's homework, and all the energy that they have to invest in and kind of putting themselves serving is servitude. And there isn't they may not be getting an income for that, but what they are doing is they're building a foundation, which is so critical for setting up the next generation. They are the CEO of their homes. They are, they're leading an ecosystem here. But because there is no financial currency attached to this, they are seen as inferior. And we really need to break away from this mindset and actually speak highly and respectfully of the stay-at-home mums, because us ourselves, 20 years ago or, 30 years ago, our mothers may have been leading a traditional life. They would have worked maybe part-time, but I feel that because my mother was at home, I felt that there was a stronger foundation in my upbringing. But I also understand that sometimes we women are not given that choice, that they have to go out to work. And so be it. If they do, they need to be celebrated too. But there just does seem to be like a divide and rule between the stay-at-home mum and the woman that goes out to work, and she's seen as more successful. But if you really asked that lady that actually goes out and does the professional job, how stressful that is. As women, we cannot spin all the plates at once. One plate has to drop. Now, if you could ask me, what is the perfect life? I would like to have had more opportunity to stay at home with my children longer and not have to go out to be the breadwinner. I feel as if I may have kind of been pushed to go out and be a professional, which I'm happy to have done, but I just felt that part of it may have had a detrimental effect on my children not being fully being there for them. So that's why I've had to really consider adapting my working timetable. Now, I'm not the normal woman because I have six children, so I've always worked freelance and I've always worked part-time because I still wanted to be at home with my children, and I was privileged enough to adapt my working timetable. Some people don't have that privilege, but it's also about choice as well. Women should have the choice of whether to stay at home or whether they want to work in a professional position, or whether they want the both worlds. It should be about choices, and we shouldn't discriminate. We should empower, enable, encourage. We should see the value in both lifestyles. They can work accordingly, but sometimes it could be a little tough in one way or another. And I do feel that stay-at-home mums should find time and space for self-care.
Your value is based on your own womanhood. As a woman, I feel empowered by having control of that narrative. But the other day, a host on television implied that misogyny in the Middle East was due to a certain religion, and by that he meant Islam. But in actual fact, Western patriarchy has caused economic devastation globally. So we should acknowledge that we face a global patriarchal problem and shouldn't assume that misogyny is synonymous with just Muslim or brown and black men, for example. It's such a lazy, sensationalist viewpoint to blame one set of men for a problem that is actually really caused by a greedy capitalist mindset. It feels like the colonial mindset of labelling the East as a barbaric hasn't changed, and the white saving narrative continues to be pushed through media outlets. And how can we challenge such viewpoints, Shemiza?
If we want to turn this narrative around, we can We need to invest. We need to invest in our media. We need to invest in education. We need to invest in transferable skills. We need to be showcasing our ability, and we need to stop kind of having those conversations that are just all about clothes and how we're dressed. It just feels that the West always wants to bring it back to how a Muslim woman dresses. And that's all we're just perceived from our attire. We're not looked at beyond this. So it is down to us. If nobody else is going to be pulling that, you know, bringing that chair to that table, we need to bring those chairs. We need to create a bigger table to have these conversations to be had. And they can't be just like a trendy movement and then forgotten about. We need to be investing. We need to make, a real obligation to continue these conversations. And we need to bring and make those conversations that are not just within like the four walls within our communities, that they come out of that space as well. The world is a very, we compartmentalize too many things. And the only time I've felt quite liberated is when I've been climbing the mountains, because I'm a mountaineer. So I climb at the mountains and I'm on top of that mountain and I'm not the mother. I'm not the Muslim woman. You know, sometimes I'm just labeled as the Muslim woman. I'm not just, you know, the mum of six. I'm just Shemaiza.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what makes Shemaiza, you know, I question that. What is it? It's all these challenges. It's all these experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
They've made me who I am, and I take them all on board, but I can actually see through everything too. And I just think that's liberating.
And that is, we're going to end on that, Shemaiza, on the amazing human that you are. And, you know, to conclude, I agree with what you said. You know, we are humans before we are any labels. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your important insight into this important conversation.